Oral questions by members.
Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this week the Parliamentary Secretary for the Environment made comments that were, and I quote, belittling and demeaning to a community of people that is already under profound pressure, end of quote. Now, if those words sound familiar, they should, because they're the very same words that the Premier used to justify the firing of his Minister of Advanced Education, despite her multiple sincere apologies. Worse, the Parliamentary Secretary for Environment made those comments on the same day that the Jewish community, including Holocaust survivors, were in the Hall of Honor only steps away from this chamber commemorating Yom HaShoah. Yet the Premier routinely excuses other NDP MLAs for their anti-Semitic comments that cause harm and increase division, demonstrating a chilling double standard. So my question to the Premier, will the Premier continue to apply his double standard, or will he do the right thing, finally, and fire his Parliamentary Secretary?
Premier.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. Everyone of us in this House has an obligation and a responsibility to conduct ourselves in a way that promotes the full participation of every member of British Columbia society. That's an expectation I have of every member of my caucus. I hope it's an expectation that every leader in this House has of their members of caucus. When it comes to anti-Semitism, when it comes to the Jewish community, a community that is very much feeling fear and concern about a rise in anti-Semitism, I've risen in this place on multiple occasions, and I'm happy to do it again to confirm that our government and every member of this caucus is committed to stand with the Jewish community in British Columbia, that we will provide the resources necessary to ensure they're safe, as we did with additional security funding, and to go after those who attack them with hate, as we did with guidance for Crown Counsel, and we'll do what's necessary. That is my expectation. The member stood in this place and made his apology, as he should have done. And so we will...
Members.
We will continue to do this work, Honourable Speaker. Thank you.
Leader of the Official Opposition, supplemental.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, what we need in this chamber is more than the Premier's words. It's his actions that show a double standard against Jewish people, and that is actually a failure of leadership. Now to another failure. As I've repeatedly warned, the Premier's sole focus on publicly supplying addictive drugs and legalizing meth, heroin, fentanyl, and crack does not end well. The NDP continue to fuel addiction when what we urgently need is a dramatic shift to treatment and recovery. It is our duty to provide care to those suffering from severe untreated mental health and addiction issues, involuntarily if necessary, to ensure they receive the proper care they need and deserve. And so my question to the Premier, when will the Premier completely scrap his failed, reckless decriminalization experiment, adopt BC United's Better as Possible plan, and deliver the urgent, compassionate, involuntary care that is often so desperately needed to help people?
Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. We heard the horrific news from BC's coroner of the number of deaths last month, more than 190 deaths. The death and destruction of the toxic drug crisis is appalling and a profound concern to every member in this place and every British Columbian. There's few of us who don't know somebody who has died as a result of the toxic drug crisis. We have two key goals. One is to keep people alive, get them into treatment, get them the support that they need. And we're opening those beds. We opened 200 new treatment beds this past year alone. We're going to keep doing that work. We're also taking some inspiration from Alberta's virtual clinic for methadone and suboxone availability and deploying that in our province as well. But we also need to have safe communities. And the federal government has confirmed the amendment to our exemption certificate to make sure that police have the tools they need to ensure that our communities are safe. Business doorways, downtowns, bus stops, and so on. This is a very challenging and serious issue. We take it that way. And I welcomed the times when all members of this House worked together on an all-party committee to chart a path forward, because in our opinion, it's not a partisan issue. We're struggling with other provinces across Canada to find the best path forward, and we're going to continue to do that work.
Leader of the Official Opposition, supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I can assure the member that every member of this legislature and certainly the public share the profound concern that the Premier expresses for those tragic deaths that are unfortunately happening. The difference is we look at the worsening results and say to ourselves, doing more of the same thing will not get you different results. And the NDP's focus has been to normalize the use of dangerous drugs like meth and heroin and recklessly flood communities with publicly supplied addictive drugs. Now, in stark contrast, our Better Is Possible plan we announced a year and a half ago focuses on treatment and recovery. We will make treatment free because no one should ever have to mortgage their home or sell their car to access the care they or a loved one needs. So my question to the Premier, again, will the Premier end his failed decriminalization experiment and adopt BC United's Better Is Possible plan that provides for free treatment, not just free drugs?
Premier.
Well, thank you, Honourable Member. What British Columbians expect is that we do everything possible to support people getting into treatment and to keep their communities safe. And what the member suggests is the complete opposite of what we've done. We've listened to British Columbians. We've listened to police. We introduced legislation, passed it in this House to address issues that were taking place in community. Put $1 billion in the budget. We've opened 200 new treatment beds. We're going to continue to open additional treatment beds. We went to the federal government when we got tied up in court with our provincial law so that we could have the tools in place for police to be able to address issues in our community. And also, I want to just remind the member of his own words 8 months ago. And he continues to try to backtrack from his record, the record of the leader of the Conservative Party and the House leader of the Conservative Party, when every member in this House supported and voted for the all-party committee report that charted this path forward. And he said,
Members,
it was accepted unanimously, Honourable Speaker. The members insist there wasn't a vote. It was accepted unanimously.
Member, wait for your turn to ask. Members, let's be respectful, okay?
This was just 8 months ago, Honourable Speaker. On the Today in BC podcast, quote, some of the chiefs of police were supportive of decriminalization. What they were supportive of is not charging people for small amounts of drugs. And I agree with that. That's the leader
members
of the BC
wait for your
party,
turn, please.
Who just said, he just stood here and said that it was just our party, that it was done without his party support. And that's simply not correct, Honourable Speaker. I can tell their discomfort with their actual record, but that is the truth, Honourable Speaker.
Member for Prince George Vale Mount.
Thanks very much. I'm not sure where the Premier was, but we've tried twice over the last number of weeks to actually call a vote in this legislature, and his members blocked a vote. If he's so concerned about the vote, he should call it this afternoon. Clear about the record. In 2020, this government made a promise to British Columbians. Do you know what they said?
Members.
We will fast-track decriminalization.
Right.
That's exactly what this government promised to do. For 15 months, this Premier has willfully ignored chaos on our streets, in coffee shops, and unbelievably even in hospitals, stubbornly endorsing open public drug use despite community outrage. In response to BC United's call to ban public drug use, the minister dismissively said, and I quote, "I think it would be very difficult to enforce. Municipalities have the tools they need. They need to work with their local medical health officer," end quote. That's what this government's reaction was to banning the use of illicit drugs in the public. When will the Premier finally do the right thing? Will he acknowledge the harms that he has caused and end this disastrous decriminalization experiment completely.
Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I do understand that the BCUPs have changed their position, as have the member of the Conservative Party. I understand they've changed their position because the member who just asked me that question was a member of the all-party committee that provided that recommendation to the Legislative Assembly. And they did that based
member,
on the
members, wait for your next question. Member, wait for next question, please. Premier, welcome.
They did that based on the testimony of countless families and individuals talking about how difficult it was and how much they wished their loved ones had come forward and provided them with the information they needed to support them. I'm struggling with drugs, I'm struggling with addiction, but they felt deep shame.
Member.
Ask your question next. Suggest that.
It's one of the reasons why the member for Surrey South, just March 3rd, 2023 on the CBC, the NDP will try to tell you that we are backtracking on decrim, which is not the case. We are not backtracking on decrim. Does that mean that our party doesn't support decrim or harm reduction? Absolutely not. We do. With our whole hearts, we want to save people. I think that's the case for every member of this House, Honourable Speaker. But I think they should just be clear that they've changed their position. And that's okay. We've worked hard, too, to respond to the reality on the ground, implementing a provincial law to address some of the public use issues we've seen, and asking the
members,
federal government for support on...
Members. Wait for your turn.
You can stand up.
Wait for your turn.
Members. And asking the federal government to amend our certificate, Honourable Speaker.
Member supplemental.
Well, the Premier has responsibility to stick to the facts in the legislature. Let me outline them for him. 2020.
Members. Members.
What are you laughing at? Attorney General and all this stuff messed up anyway?
Members. Let's not have a crosstalk, please.
The 2 minutes?
Shh. Member from Prince George Wilmot has the floor.
In 2020, this government made a promise to British Columbians they would fast-track decriminalization. The exemption was granted by the federal government before the Health Committee had even begun to do the majority of its work. That's the fact. The Premier knows it. To suggest that there has been a vote on decriminalization in this House is misleading at best.
Exactly.
He knows that. We accept reports by the dozen in this legislature. What the committee told the Premier was this. There was work to be done, guardrails to be put in place. There was a list of requirements. This government failed to meet every single requirement laid down by the federal government. So, nice try to the Premier. That is revisionist history, and he knows it. British Columbians are suffering the consequences of his conscious decision to fast-track decriminalization without guardrails in place. So let's be clear. This is happening because of this Premier's deliberate
member.
Policy choices. So when will he get up and admit the truth and, at best case, call a vote this afternoon on decriminalization? We'd be happy to participate.
Premier.
Honourable Speaker, this is completely beside the point. British Columbians are dying. British Columbians are dying. Okay.
Members.
Okay.
Members.
I'm willing.
Members. Members. Members.
Okay. You want the truth?
Members, wait for
facts?
Your turn. Members. Premier will continue.
Honourable Speaker, I'm willing to go down this path, but under protest. The issue is keeping British Columbians alive, ensuring them they get the treatment they need, and that our communities are safe. Here's the quote from the member for Surrey South, March 3rd, 2023. Quote, I don't want to come across as not in favour because...
Member.
You should listen to this.
Member for North Thompson.
This is the designated... Shadow Minister for drug-related issues from the BCUP. Quote, I don't want to come across as not in favour.
Member.
I don't want to come across as not in favour because through the Select Standing Committee on Health, we have supported. The NDP will try to tell you that we are backtracking on decrim, which is not the case.
Members.
We're not backtracking on decrim. Talking about the Select Standing Committee, talking about the issue that was litigated in the election,
Members, let's not interrupt, please.
In the election where Alexa Liu, the Richmond City Councillor, ran as a BCUP, BC Liberal, BC Conservative, whatever they want to call themselves, candidate. Quote, we aren't looking to fill prisons with people using drugs, but we are trying to have it not happen in the public eye. Quote, I think it's a pretty good balance, Honourable Speaker. Now, the issue is, how do we deal with these toxic drugs in our community?
Member.
And that's the issue that I care about, the British Columbians care about, that every member of our government cares about, and we're going to take the steps necessary to address it.
Members, it's not very nice to interject and interrupt others. Wait for your question, wait for your answer. Both sides, please, let's continue to be respectful to each other. Leader of the third party.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The 2023 Provincial Youth Development Instrument Report revealed that the kids are not all right. In the report, 38% of respondents had depression, 39% generalized anxiety, and 36% reported not seeking professional mental health care in the last 6 months, despite needing it. One in four teens report feeling lonely. Thoughts of suicide are prevalent, with 18% having seriously considered it, and 5% report attempting. This government is extremely reactive, still failing to respond to this crisis. MCFD is responsible for child and youth mental health care in this province. Yet underinvestment and lack of staff supports have not met the needs. On the South Island, the average wait time for the first service with child and youth mental health is 80 days. There's only one emergency youth mental health unit in the South Island. Much more work is needed for kids in BC to be all right. My question for you is to the Minister of Children and Family Development. Does she think it's acceptable that youth on Southern Vancouver Island face an 80-day wait for mental health services?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker, and I thank the member for raising what is, I know to every member of this House, a very, very serious and important issue, and that is how we provide access to care and supports that children and youth need in our province. And I can say that that is something that has been a key priority for our government, and that is why we have invested significantly in upstream supports, such as expanding the Foundry network, which provides low-barrier, free, completely accessible mental health and physical health supports for youth aged 12 to 25. We have 16 open Foundry centres open, 9 in the works. We'll have 35 across the province when the expansion is done. And Foundry is providing a really clear and easy path to access for kids. I hear the member's concern about how we really pull our systems together to make sure that kids can get the support that they need. So we've introduced integrated child and youth mental health teams that pull together schools, our child and youth mental health system, our healthcare system, to provide access through there as well. I very much agree that it is an area that is a top priority and that we are continuing to work with partners on a significant expansion to provide those services.
Member supplemental.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. If an 80-day wait is an example of what happens when something is a key priority of this government, we're in some trouble. Each year, the Ministry of Children and Family Development spends $160,000 per child in care. Yet funding to programs that help children, like Take a Hike Foundation, receives less from this government than the cost of one child in care. Take a Hike provided 1,442 hours of individual clinical counseling and 387 hours of group counseling for youth last year, 1 year. It's delivering the services this government says we need, but it gets no consistent funding out of this government's $89 billion budget. They have to apply for gaming grants.
Question, please.
My question is to the Minister of Children and Family Development. How is it that Take a Hike a program with proven success meeting the needs of youth at risk, does not receive stable funding from this government.
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I want to share again our collective gratitude for organizations like Take a Hike, who provide really critical services. They work through education, they work through our child and youth mental health system, and we're working with a number of partners across the space. We work with Dan's Legacy and a number of child and youth focused organizations. And I'd say, Honourable Speaker, that I appreciate that it is so important that when children and families reach out, that they get the help that they need. That's why we've stood up services such as integrated child and youth teams, which are provide faster access. And we are certainly working to get wait times down. They're certainly lower than they were when we came into office in 2017. We have been working to build a system where there was not a coordinated system of child and youth mental health, Honourable Speaker, and we're going to continue to do that work.
House Leader of the Fourth Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The crisis of addiction in BC has reached a tipping point. People are done with the status quo of drugs, crime, and chaos. Our province is at a crossroads. We can choose to go down the BC NDP path of extremist policy trials, ideological experimentation, and more pro-drug use policy, or we in this chamber can make things right and save the lives of people who are suffering from addiction through common sense conservative policies, prevention, treatment, and healing. But in order to fix a problem, we must first admit the mistake. Much has been said in this chamber about the failed decriminalization experiment. Let's be clear, this NDP Liberal experiment failed, and people paid with their lives. Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Premier, and I hope he stands and answers the question, will he commit to apologizing to the victims of his radical NDP decriminalization experiment and commit to ending the so-called safe supply of hard drugs that is killing children in British Columbia?
Minister.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question. And of course, it's not lost, I know, on any member of this House that we just received the report from the coroner. That speaks to 192 British Columbians lost. And I can tell you, Honourable Speaker, I certainly speak with to a lot of families, a lot of people in my own community, as I know all members do, and a lot of people who have lost loved ones in my capacity as minister. And what they're asking us to do is to build the system that provides the help and the care and the support that their loved ones needed. They don't want to see more people dying from toxic drugs. And Honourable Speaker, that's why we are doing the work that we do, to try every single thing that we possibly can, including whatever innovations that our public health or healthcare system advises us is going to be a potential help in dealing with a public health emergency that is the toxic drug crisis, that is not just something we're dealing with in British Columbia, but next door in Alberta, but right across the country, right across the continent. And that includes, just on how we talk to children and youth, an extensive campaign to reach out and make sure that we're communicating the message to youth that there are places where they could reach out to help to talk to them about the dangers of the illicit drug supply right now.
Member supplemental.
Mr. Speaker, it's no secret that the Conservative Party has been critical of the BC NDP's radical pro-drug policies. Today I am asking this NDP Premier to follow in the footsteps of his predecessor, Premier Horgan, by admitting to his failure, apologizing for his reckless approach, and moving away from the radical ideology and experimentation. British Columbians are yearning, pleading for a common sense conservative government that will save the lives of addicts, keep communities safe, and be straight up with people. So I ask again through you, Mr. Speaker, will the NDP Premier commit to ending the so-called safe supply of hard drugs in British Columbia and put that money towards prevention, recovery, and treatment?
Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The commitment that we're happy to make to British Columbians is two parts. One is we do everything we can to get people with addictions the treatment they need, get them the support they need to rebuild their lives, keep them alive to do that, and provide addictions doctors with the support and the tools they need to achieve those goals. And the other part is to ensure that our communities are safe for everybody. Now, the member says...
The member says
that British Columbians are crying out for his common sense. Well, let me give you just a little illustration of his common sense. Today, his leader tweeted out that he thinks the government should be raiding ICBC surpluses and taking them into general revenue again. Well, we actually made that illegal, Honourable Speaker.
Member...
That is exactly
Member,
what
you've
he said.
Asked a question.
He
Please
said we shouldn't
wait,
give
no.
the money back to drivers, Honourable Speaker. When British Columbians need support with costs more than ever, he said we shouldn't be giving that rebate back to drivers. We should take the money into general revenue. That was his tweet. And I told the member that I would table in this House a list of more than 10 schools where there had been protests that terrified teachers and students. And that was the reason why we introduced the bill that he opposed to block protests around schools. Honourable Speaker, I've got 18 schools that I'll table after this.
Thank you.
The member stood in this place, his leader stood in this place and introduced a bill that took an example of a crank at the side of a kid's track and field meet who walked onto the field and challenged a girl who was doing shot put, saying she wasn't a girl in front of her parents. Probably the most awful day of that girl's life. And instead of responding and saying that's awful, standing in this place and introducing a bill that would say, not a crank at the side of the track and field meet, but the government will storm onto the kids' track and field meet and say that's not a girl. That's his common sense, Honourable Speaker. That's nonsense.
Member for Kootenay East. Thank you, Member. Member for Kootenay East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 18 months ago, the Premier promised, quote, results that people can see, feel, touch, and experience in their lives, end quote. Well, in Cranbrook, the results are devastating. What Cranbrook has experienced is record homelessness, crime, and chaos caused by the Premier's failed decriminalization and catch-and-release policies. As a direct consequence of these provincial NDP policy failures, Cranbrook has incurred over $350,000 in staffing, security, and cleanup costs, and has now sent the Premier the bill. Will the Premier take responsibility and cover the $350,000 spent by the City of Cranbrook due to his policy failures, yes or no?
Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. No doubt homelessness is a challenging situation that's being faced by communities not only in British Columbia, not only across the country, in fact, but around North America. We don't have enough housing for the people in our communities. That's why, Honourable Speaker, we've taken the steps that we have to ensure that we can increase housing supply, but not only to support the private sector to build more housing, but also expand the non-market housing space. The member knows, I'm sure he was there when the ribbons were cut on the new affordable housing that was opened in Cranbrook. They haven't seen housing for a long time, member. But we were the ones who delivered the housing, affordable housing in that community, Honourable Speaker. We're going to continue to work with Cranbrook. We're going to continue to work with communities throughout the province, Honourable Speaker, to ensure that we can build the affordable housing that people need. For too long, governments have stayed out of building housing. For too long, governments have said, you know what, people will just figure it out themselves. We're taking a different approach, Honourable Speaker. We'll work with all communities to ensure that the most vulnerable people in our community have access to housing.
Member for Surrey White Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 18 months ago, the Premier promised, and I quote, results that people can see, feel, touch, and experience in their lives, end quote. The results are in. Grocery costs, they've increased by 30%. Food bank lines, they're up 60% under this Premier and under this NDP government. Despite record-setting deficits, homelessness has never been higher in the history of this province than it is today under this Premier and under this government. In Surrey, homelessness It's up a staggering 76% under the NDP. So, to the Premier, how can he defend his record-setting inflationary deficits when homelessness is worse than it has ever been?
Minister of Housing.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. No doubt there's challenges when it comes to lack of housing, not only in British Columbia, across North America. The member can open up a newspaper from any jurisdiction and see that there's challenges. We have more people than housing available. Now, I appreciate that we need to do more housing and have more housing opportunities. Just a few months ago, I opened up 100 new affordable rental homes in Surrey in January. In February, we were back opening another 100, Honourable Speaker. A few weeks after that, we were opening another 50. Honourable Speaker, there's more coming this year. We are building affordable housing in Surrey like no community before, no government before us. Honourable Speaker, for two decades, we had governments say, we don't want to be in the business of building affordable housing. The leader of the opposition says, I was a developer. The leader of the BCU party, he says, I was a developer. Trust me, I will make sure that there will be housing. Honourable, no one believes that he'll build affordable housing, Honourable Speaker, because their record shows that was something
Members.
That they were never committed to when they were on this side of the House.
The bell ends the question period.